Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The Bible is not a book like an encyclopedia. You read it not so much to learn, but to find your life changed. James tells us to receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Today, how to do just that. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on being changed by the Word. Now, turn with us to James chapter 1 as we begin an inspiring message on how the Word of God blesses us.
Let me begin today with a question. Have you ever been deceived? I'm sure we've all experienced that, and the reason is because we believed a lie. So let me follow up with another question. Have you ever deceived yourself? Have you ever believed your own lies, lies that you perhaps want to believe about yourself or about your situation, and you've talked yourself into it, or you may not even know that what you have come to believe is a lie, deception. Well, we're going to plunge right into the scriptures. Would you take your Bible and turn, please, to James chapter 1, James chapter 1. And as always, it is so important that we see the text because I want you to understand the text and the sequence of the text. James chapter 1, and I'm going to pick it up directly in verse 22. It says this, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Well, there it is, deceiving yourselves. Greek scholars tell us that the word that is used there, hearers, is a word that could be used for auditors. Don't be an auditor. Now, you know what an auditor is. An auditor is somebody who comes into class, doesn't want to take any exams, doesn't write the term papers, and if he audits all of his classes, he won't graduate, but he's there just in case there's something very interesting for him to learn, but there's no follow-through. I used to teach. I didn't like auditors. You know, that we're there, well, as long as it's interesting, I'll come and hear you, but I don't have to come to class. I can skip because I'm just an auditor. The problem with auditors are the ones who confuse knowing and believing, and they are oftentimes deceived because they think to themselves, I've heard the lecture, I've heard the class. Somehow they think in their minds, therefore they have done it. If you want an unbelievably chilling story in the New Testament about deception, it is the words of Jesus. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Lord, have we not done many miracles? And I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Keep in mind that these people actually thought that the door of heaven would swing open for them, but they discovered that it didn't. Because at the end of the day, they were ones who heard the word, but didn't understand, didn't really believe, and didn't follow through. They were auditors. Well, your Bibles are open to James chapter 1, because what we're going to do in the next few moments is to give you instruction on how to make sure that you benefit from the word of God. And this message applies to listening to a sermon. That, of course, is very important to me to emphasize that. But it also applies to those of you who are listening to the scriptures. Many of you who are listening here for the first time may not know that here at the church, we are committed to listening to the New Testament in 40 days or reading it. And you're involved in that. And what you want to do is to make sure that you won't just be an auditor deceiving yourself. About 35 years ago, I read a sermon by the great 19th century preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And whenever I think of that text, I think of his outline, and I'm using his outline. And I didn't have to check his sermon to see what the outline was. I remembered it. Because it is so easy to remember, so logical to remember, that I believe, for those of you who will still be alive in 35 years' time, that somebody should say, now what was that outline that Pastor Lutzer used that he took from Spurgeon on this passage? And you'll know it just like that. Can you believe that 35 years from now? I think so. I think that there may be some skeptics present, but God will overcome that skepticism. Are you ready for it? It's this simple and easy to remember. Spurgeon says that this passage of Scripture teaches us what to do before a sermon or a Bible reading, what to do during a sermon, and what to do after a sermon. Easy to remember, and it's all in the text. Thanks for joining us on this journey. First of all, Spurgeon says the text helps us to understand what we should do before a sermon. Now I'm actually in verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Wow, that's quite a statement. We don't even like the word filthy. And yet James here is talking about issues in our life, sinful issues of unconquered sin that he refers to as filthy. Now, some of those sins, of course, may be in the preceding verse. Know this, brothers, let every one of us be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The fact is that many of us are quick to speak because we want to hear the sound of our own voice. Furthermore, we're having a conversation with someone and we are not slow to hear because we don't care what their story is. All that matters is our story. James said, no, become interested in other people's story. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, because you know that what comes out of your mouth is representing the King of Kings who redeemed you. So you don't want to be flippant in the sense that you just say the first thing that comes into your head, but you are slow to speak and you're very slow to anger. Now that, of course, would be included under the word filthy or excess of wickedness, the two terms that James uses here. But of course, many other things are there as well. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you, is there filthiness in your life? Or is there, as our translation says, rampant, out of control wickedness? James says, lay it aside. Weed the garden before you get to the Word of God. Because if you and I come to the Scriptures, and we have all of these issues and all of these sins that we've not confessed before God, and all of these issues and our relationship with other people, when we come to listen to a message or to hear the Word of God, we'll discover it'll be something like water on a marble slab. It will not affect us. That's why you find that there are people who memorize Scripture and they go to Bible camp and they learn all the verses and then they turn away from God. Because what they are is auditors. Now let's talk very, very bluntly and clearly. I believe that in many families, and remember, Rebecca and I used to have small children. In many families, the most unholy hour of the whole week is preparation to go to church Sunday morning. Isn't that true? Anybody identify with that? You know, the kids, they don't eat breakfast. They want to sleep in because it's Sunday morning. Father is out in the car honking the horn because he knows he's late. Mother is upset because she's saying, well, Father didn't help much, and therefore, you know, well, he can take his breakfast with him, they say of the kids. And everybody comes, and then it's difficult to park, and then you come in. Listen, on a Richter scale of 1 to 10, in terms of unholiness, that hour might be a number 8 at least. How do you circumvent that? Well, first of all, you get started earlier in the morning, and I know all that too. But the least thing that you and I should do is when we come into this sanctuary, What we should do is spend a few moments. Hopefully you get here early. Listen, those of you who are here early, could I just say a word of encouragement to you? I believe that in heaven your crown is going to be so heavy that your head will be tilted. Which also says something about the latecomers, but we can slide over that. This sanctuary is not a place for you to meet with your friends before the service. Do that out in the hallway. When you come into this place, what you should do is to say, God, I've had a difficult morning, I've had a difficult week, and I know it's going to be, last week with all of its difficulties was much better than the one I'm going to have. So, Lord, would you just quiet my soul? Help me to confess and deal with issues that are standing here as a barrier, because soon we're going to be singing praises to God. Soon we're going to be asked to listen to your holy word. And I am here to meet you, and I'm preparing my heart. James says, if you don't want to be an auditor, lay aside all filthiness, all excess of wickedness. Some translations say excess of malice. Lay it aside, and then during a sermon. So first of all, you want to remember this outline. Before a sermon, cleansing. During a sermon, humility. Receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save your souls. Meekness means humility. What you do is you come and you say, Lord, speak to me. I want to learn. I'm not here to oppose you. I tell you, it's very dangerous business to oppose God. And the Bible says God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. I, for one, do not want to be in opposition with God, because I know who's going to win and who's going to lose. So James says, come and do it with submission. Are you willing to listen to God's word, to really hear what he has to say to you today?
Friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Please listen to me carefully for just a moment. Have you noticed that sometimes God's word does not change people? Some of you know those who have gone to church all their lives, they've listened to the word, they've listened to sermons, and they are still unsaved. Others may be converted, but they are not growing in the faith. Why? Is the reason because of the word of God's lack of power? I don't think so. The fact is, as you read the book of James, and as we'll continue this next time, the great emphasis is on the attitude with which we come to God's word. Do we come with a sense of teachability? Do we come to God's word with the assurance that we belong to him and the willingness to allow him to transform us? These messages from the scriptures are so critical to us, because what I want us to understand is how to apply God's word, how to open our lives to God, so that his word will bring about its transforming power and the changes that are promised to us in the text.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing The Word of God Blesses Us, the third message in a series on being changed by the word. Next time on Running to Win, how to take home more from a sermon at church than you ever thought possible. This six-part series on Changed by the Word can be yours on CD as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.